You're listening to the Friday Morning Show. We've been talking about arts in the region, and this morning we're welcoming into the studio one of the newest artists in residence at the Old Central School, Aaron Olson Reiners. Would you say you're a painter?
Yeah, I'm primarily painting and drawing.
Okay, yep. All right. Well, thanks for being in with us today, Aaron.
Yeah,
we appreciate
you.
It. So what does it mean to be an artist in residence at Central School?
Well, basically it's... You have a space in the third floor of the Old Central School, and you have a great place to work. They have a awesome vaulted ceiling with exposed wood beams, and it's just that part of it's really kind of eye-catching. I would say the other big part of it is just having other artists around. So I have a studio in my home that I use, but it's pretty isolated, which can be good sometimes. But it's also really important to have other people around to bounce things off of or talk to, or in my case, as being new to the area, just to get a little more familiar with the arts community in general.
I'm sure it's fun to get out of your house or your own studio and go somewhere. It's probably more creative and relaxing, maybe, if that's the term.
Yeah, well, the thing I notice is that I bring a different set of... I'm in like a different headspace when I'm somewhere else, because the studio in my house is an additional bedroom that I'm lucky to have. It's right across from my daughter's room, and it's just kind of a different... You have different associations when you're in your house than you have kind of the baggage of that part of your life.
Speaking of your life, let's go back to when you became interested in art. Were your parents an influence, or did it just happen?
I would say it's kind of a combination of both. I mean, neither of my parents were kind of art enthusiasts in the respect of, like, making things, but they both enjoyed the arts and always encouraged me to sign everything I did and kept me in notebooks and materials. So, yeah, so they were really instrumental in, like, helping me see that as, like, a viable option for... a life.
So were you like a doodler or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Yep. The story goes that I would always like glue bits of wood together in my dad's office, and that was kind of like my first foray into sculpting or something. I guess that didn't really go very far, but moved into drawing pretty quickly.
That's Aaron Olson Reiners. He has an MFA from the Minneapolis College of Art and Design. He also went to St. Olaf College in Northfield, Minnesota. He now lives in Grand Rapids. You teach at Hibbing Community College?
I do, yeah.
So did you think there would be, when you moved up to, because you and your family are still pretty new to the northern Minnesota, did you think there would be quite the art scene that you found here?
Well, I didn't really know what to expect. My knowledge of arts in northern Minnesota, I grew up in Stillwater and then went to Northfield for college and then back to the Twin Cities. So my knowledge of northern Minnesota arts was primarily around Grand Marais and Duluth to some extent, because those were kind of the entry points, I guess, for most of the Twin Cities crew. But yeah, I was actually really pleased and with what I kind of stumbled onto when I found the McRosty and got introduced to some of the local people working, and then finding out about this residency program they have at the Central School. So, I didn't really know what to expect, but I was really pleased with like the vitality of the scene that's going.
So let's talk about your influences, because I've always wanted to dabble in art, and sometimes it's impossible to even start to get going. But did you have influences? Is there a certain artist that you liked, and then you kind of try and match what they do, or how does that all work when you start out?
Yeah, well, it kind of depends on where you, like what era of the, the art making. My earliest influences were wanting to be an animator for Disney, because as a kid, that was the art that I was most exposed to, was Disney movies and the illustrations from video games, that kind of thing. Then I kind of moved into comic books, and then I eventually kind of stumbled onto the, quote, fine art world. And that kind of opened up a whole different avenue for less of an applied art and more of a art for art's sake kind of thing. And so I guess in that realm, I would say my influences have been mostly other painters, probably from the 50s and 60s. I guess some from the 80s too, but Philip Guston is a big painter who had a really interesting story of starting as an abstract expressionist, working really non-objectively with just colors and shapes and things, and then in the tumultuous, you know, environment of the 60s kind of went back to painting figures and doing really kind of overly political work. So not that that's a direct influence about like what I'm painting, but kind of that thought process of like trying to match what's important to you to what you're making.
Your paintings are beautiful. They're very bright and they're not all happy. And you have a lot of faces.
Yeah.
And that they're amazing. And they're Thank not you. Necessarily always happy faces.
No, not necessarily.
Do you see something? Would you, like, what you're working on now, maybe you're working on a piece right now, was there any influence? Do you, in everyday life walking around, do you get an idea of what you want to do?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a combination of noticing little details that might be overlooked, you know, the corner of a room or the, you know, an interesting detail on a wall or a tabletop, and then kind of using that as a jumping off point to kind of improvise from. And so then there's that initial starting point kind of gets improvised and turned into something else kind of through this process of painting and mark making. So it might not end up where it starts, but there's always sort of a connection to the outside world. It might get kind of buried in the process. But
John said the thing about you've dabbled or you would like to dabble in art. But what I know about John is he has tried, and I don't know how long he tried, but he didn't like it, so it wasn't perfect, so he's done.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone? Or do you have those feelings sometimes, or how do you work through them? And
oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I guess the thing that, I mean, painting never really came easily to me. It was kind of a blood sport. I was stronger in drawing for quite a while, so I kind of hung my hat on that, and then kind of just really kind of kept at painting, just stubbornness, for lack of a better word. And there's a lot of like hitting your head against the wall, and then feeling like this isn't working, and then you have a moment of breakthrough, and then it kind of washes away all the preceding angst. So I guess it's kind of just a process of like keeping your eye on the prize and kind of pounding through, you know, the slog of mistakes.
Do you feel that you have to be well-read to be an artist?
That's an interesting question. I would say it definitely helps. It kind of depends on the arena of art you want to get into. In some areas of the art field are more academic, and some of them are more or less academic. I think it just in general, it would help in order to have a sense of what's going on in your world, in order to have interests and points of reference that are outside of yourself. But kind of what that reading necessarily has to be can be pretty wide. I mean, it can be anything. So
when you paint or draw, do you listen to music?
Yeah, often I do. It's just, it kind of gets me in the right headspace, and kind of what that headspace is kind of decides what the music's going to be.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it amplifies whatever I'm feeling or thinking about, and sometimes it kind of tamps things down and let me kind of get into the right.
Give us an example.
I've been listening to a lot of Joy Division lately.
Wow.
So,
wow. Those are the not happy
not
faces.
Not so happy faces.
Oh, yeah. There's the angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
But, and sometimes it's kind of more ambient electronic stuff, like Aphex Twin or something like that, where it's, I don't know, usually it has some kind of lyrical content, but it could be anything from Bob Dylan or Ani DiFranco to Nine Inch Nails or something.
So I've told you this before. You have a piece, I think maybe it was Hanging in the McCroskey. It's just a squiggly face with eyes and a bass to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like, no disrespect, it looks like a 9-year-old could create that.
Sure.
But I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, it's so good, but it's so simple. It's like it's like reading a John Prine lyrics and say, well, I could write that, but it's not that easy.
Yeah. No, it's that's something I we talk a lot about with my students at Hibbing Community College is that usually as the semester goes on, we start moving towards abstraction. And then there's always a fair amount of eye rolling because it can be sort of a, I don't know, kind of a stumbling block or like not the easiest thing to get into art with, just because there is that, not that same traditional set of skills and techniques that are associated with it. But yeah, I guess that's the thing. It's, you know, it takes, or for me anyway, it took, you know, 30 odd years of working to be able to strip things down to that point.
Right. Tell us about the enthusiasm 18 to 20 year old kids have in art when you're teaching. Obviously, in any class, you're going to have people that are sleeping, and you're going to have some people that are just going to be jacked up. So what's your overall gut feeling on how kids feel about art? And I know they don't have to be in that. Some of them don't have to be in that class, but it's an elective, and maybe they don't want to be there. How do you feel about students in art these days?
Yeah, well, I think it's, I mean, it's definitely been something that's really added to my practice in ways that I hadn't really expected. It's, you always have the people that are really ready to go, super gung-ho about doing it, and they've been making art since they were, you know, in utero, and it's just part of them in their DNA. And then you have people that really don't want to be there. And so I find that it's a, it is an awesome challenge to be able to like try and sell somebody on art that might not really want to, or be, might be kind of resistant to it.
Do you ever had those feelings, those moments where one of those kids that doesn't like it, all of a sudden you see a spark, like they did something like really cool?
Yeah. Yep. And that, that totally, you know, makes the day.
Yeah.
Yep. You're kind of like, oh, you can find like a connection point, or sometimes knowing some of the history of it, or like what was going on when the person made this or that, that backstory can be really helpful.
I know it's hard to put words to like your style or what you do. And John has, is looking at your paintings. I don't know if you can describe it, John, or because all you've said so far is not, it's faces and not some, and they're not all happy.
No, there's a lot of abstract. There's a lot of lines.
Give people
a
feel.
There's a lot of, you know, lines in your art, but I think they're fantastic. They're bright, bright, bright colors. And that's what I like. I don't necessarily like just pale stuff, but you have bright, vivid colors and they're, it doesn't, I don't know, it's not all angry faces, but it's beautiful. Even an angry face can be beautiful if you do the right colors, and that's what I'm seeing here.
How would you describe it?
Yeah, I mean, I would always say I'm kind of a sucker for line, like just formally. I really like the, you like you were saying before, the simplicity of line, but then there's all of the, there's the range of kind of evocative quality depending on the kind of line you have. But yeah, I would say that my paintings and drawings are usually kind of somewhere between being totally abstract and then having some kind of reference to a figure or a body and some of some kind of level.
Are you ever proud of your work? You know what I mean? Do you ever sit back sometimes and go, holy crap, that's really, really good. And I'm not too bad.
You know, there are definitely moments where I'm like, oh, okay, that worked. And like, and ultimately, you keep working until you get to that point.
You don't say, holy crap, I'm really, really good?
Well, usually it's like, holy crap, that's not working. But yeah, I mean, I think the times that I really notice that sense of like victory, or like when you have, you know, all of your work up, or a good spread of your work in one place, and you can kind of step back from it and, you know, kind of survey the,
see connections maybe you didn't see before.
And sometimes just because of the size, it can be physically hard to do that, like to put them all up.
Wow. Aaron Olson Reiners, he said a good word there, John, that I think you and I should remember: practice.
Yeah.
Because art or writing, for me, you got to practice. And
you're
not perfect.
You got to make mistakes. Make mistakes.
We got to work on our first script for The Odd Couple.
Well, I think people want to be perfectionists immediately.
Oh,
I know
totally.
I do.
Totally.
And I look at it, it's like, oh my God, I could have done that when I was in third grade when I'm done. I step back like, what? That was a waste of time. But I've done some stuff and I've looked at it and it's terrible. But I loved it. When I was lost when I did it. Like 3 hours went by in 4 minutes.
Yeah. Yep. You get in that like flow state and everything kind of melts away.
Yeah.
But, and that's when you know it's going well.
It's Aaron Olson Reiners. He's one of the new artists in residence at Old Central School in downtown Grand Rapids. So will you be there today? Can people meet you?
I'll be there. Yep. Between 4 and 7.
Okay.
So, all right.
Sounds great. It's up on the third floor.
Stop on by. Yeah. Yep.